This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Cherry Hill Volvo is honored to sponsor the Rich Zeoli podcast. We thank Rich for informing and entertaining all of us. Rich Zeoli, 1210 Talk Radio and Cherry Hill Volvo, an absolutely amazing team.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Zeoli podcast.
The Supreme Court says, yes, the District Attorney of Manhattan can get the president's tax return, so prepare for that major political battle coming. The vice president tells the Philadelphia cops, you are heroes. And Joe Biden says to the left, I'm with you. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. It's an hour of nonstop talk on this Friday. Happy Friday. We made it through the week. It's great to have you with us today, every day, of course. 855-839-1210. First of all, New York prosecutors won a Supreme Court victory yesterday. The District Attorney of New York, Cyrus Vance, the Supreme Court said in their 7-2 decision written by Chief Justice John Roberts, no citizen, not even the president, is categorically above the common duty to produce evidence when called upon in a criminal proceeding. Vance, who said his stalled investigation can now resume, called the decision a tremendous victory for our nation's system of justice and its founding principle that no one, not even a president, is above the law. Justice Alito, in his dissent, talked about the fact that now you have the problem of you want to shield the president from prosecutors on the state level who are going after the president for political reasons. And that is a purpose, a function that is a reasonable purpose and function that you want to shield a president, any president from in the future. And now that's been stripped away. So will this open up the barn doors for investigations? You bet. I mean, of course it will. It's going to happen. Everybody has done something that somebody could look into. And in the future, you know, let's say Joe Biden becomes president. You know, is there somebody who's going to decide they want to look into something that Joe Biden did? Some prosecutor somewhere to make a name for themselves, to make a career out of themselves while Joe Biden's a sitting president? Sure. Because that's just how politics works. It's like you do something to me, I'm going to do it back to you. It's how it works. It's a vicious, vicious thing. The idea that no president is above the law is true. It's also not true because presidents certainly are above the law. There's a lot of things they can do that we can't do. But when it comes to the matter of criminal law, it's really been understood in our nation's history that you can't go after a president criminally while they're in office because they're just one person in charge of the entire branch of government. So you got to wait till they're done. Frankly, you got to wait till they're done. That's been a Justice Department opinion affirmed when they went after Nixon, when they went after Clinton, too. So that's where that stands. I expect the New York case now is going to go full steam ahead. I expect it's going to become the trial of the century with the goal of trying to get Donald Trump's tax returns released in some manner before the election. Now, grand juries are supposed to be sacred, obviously, as you know, and secret. So if the grand jury sees the president's tax returns, that's supposed to be secret. Of course, I live in the real world where things don't often stay secrets. And obviously, there's always people that wind up, you know, I mean, a clerk drops a file somewhere. Oops. They are going to do everything they possibly can to try to make sure that those taxes come out before November. Now, what's the problem with that, you might ask? Well, nothing in and of itself, other than it would be sleazy and dirty and nefarious. And if the American voters really demanded Donald Trump's tax returns, he wouldn't be president right now because he didn't release them in the first place. So if this is an issue for people, they're not going to vote for him. Ultimately, the voters get the ultimate say, right? If you don't like the fact that he's not showing his tax returns, if you think there might be something shady there and that bothers you, don't vote for the guy. You have that ability. There's no law that requires people to release their tax returns. So law requires people to release their the transcripts of college, their most inner secrets, their diaries, nothing. I mean, there's no law that requires it. So, you know, the Democrats have been for years saying there's something in there. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. I don't know. It's up to the people to decide that. If the people decide that they think it's no big deal that he hasn't released him, then they're going to vote for the guy. If not, they're not going to vote for the guy. Why is this so complicated? And without knowing what's in the tax returns, how can Democrats like Adam Schiff with a straight face say we need to look into the tax returns to find out what's there? Obviously, they're just admitting to a fishing expedition. They don't know anything that's in there because nobody's seen them yet. But this is the thing with the politics of all this. Why trust the people to make a decision, right? There's no law that requires it. The only law it requires is the president's age and the issue of citizenship, and that's it. You don't even have to be a registered voter to become president. I mean, you could be in prison and become president of the United States. There's no requirements, very minimal, for reasons. And releasing your tax returns is certainly not one of the requirements of becoming the president. But I imagine New York is going to come after him with everything they got. Just like the state of New York, the attorney general there, ran on that platform of going after Trump. The district attorney of Manhattan wants him. And Michael Cohen wants to talk, and all these other people want to talk. And this is what you want to try to guard a president against, because all of this conduct took place before he was president. So in his dissent, Justice Clarence Thomas said, the only time that something should be compelled, the president should be compelled to have to turn something over, would be in the course of an impeachment, and if it was relevant to that impeachment. But I would always argue with you that anything the president has done in his private life before becoming president is off the table, because the impeachment clause of the Constitution only deals with what the president does as president. It's about abusing the power of the presidency. It's not about being a bad guy. It's not about being a scumbag. It's not about being a tax cheat. None of those things. It's entirely based on what you do as president. Period. Period. That's it. That's the impeachment clause of the Constitution. It's not a look back period. It doesn't give you the look back to look into their private life. I have no doubt. I don't think anyone does that Donald Trump has done some probably very scrupulously questionable business practices, to say it kindly, over the course of his lifetime. I don't think anyone really cares either. They made their decision knowing pretty much who the guy was. They didn't care. It's not Congress's job to go, oh, well, now we need to uncover what he did before he got elected and then use that in the course of impeachment. No. When they wrote the impeachment clause, it was about dealing with a president who Congress could not rein in. Not when they found out the guy turned out to be a real just pain in the neck and they just think the guy was, you know, a bad dude. No, that's not enough. It has to be the actions of the presidency. But what I imagine, though, is that you know as well as I do that the Democrats in New York State are going to make it their job, their every moment of breathing, to try to make this happen before the election. But happen, I mean, is some sort of a criminal inquiry, some sort of an actual charge. I don't think they can charge a sitting president. I don't think a state could, but they're going to try. New York's going to try. And it doesn't mean Trump's guilty of anything. Remember, the Zioli axiom has always been, all these years, if the government wants to get you, they'll find something to get you. That's how it works. It's what they do. They're very good at that. They have no time. There's no time limit on them. There's no money limit on them. They don't have to go get clients. They don't have to worry about, being at the Chamber of Commerce breakfast to shake hands and try to find new clients. There's no ambulances to chase. If you're an attorney and you work for the city or the state prosecutor's office, you do whatever the head prosecutor tells you to do. And in the cases of the city and the state of New York, it's going to be drop everything. Look into these tax returns. I mean, they're not prosecuting vandals and they're not prosecuting looters. They're not prosecuting really anybody in New York City anymore. So the place has become a runaway crime zone. So they have plenty of time as prosecutors. They'll go line by line, inch by inch. Who among us could survive that kind of scrutiny, really? If the government decided to drop everything and look into every aspect of your life, who among us could really survive that without them finding something? That's the problem, right? That's why the concept of innocence that we all enjoy is supposed to be governments don't get to go on fishing expeditions. That's not how it's supposed to work. They're not just able to go, you know what? Start looking till you find something. You give me the man, I'll give you the crime. Show me the man, I'll show you the crime. It's an old quote attributed to the Soviet Union. We're not supposed to do things like that here. And that's what this is going to be. Michael Cohen has talked about hush money payments. Now, let me make this very clear. You may think hush money payments are sleazy, and they may be, but they happen all the time. Non-disclosure agreements with and without funds attached to them happen every day in this country. They're not illegal. If I pay somebody off to make them go away because I don't want to deal with it anymore, and I give them a check for their silence, and we write down an agreement, now I have a binding contract, I can sue them if they breach that contract to protect myself and my interests. It doesn't mean I'm guilty of what they're alleging I did. I just want them to shut the hell up and go away. Happens every day in this country. Now, you may not like it. You may think it's sleazy. I'm not defending the practice. I'm not defending Trump's non-disclosure agreements. I don't have to, because there's nothing illegal about them. If you think they're unethical, don't vote for the guy. It's not that complicated, right? If you got a problem with the practice of it, then, you know what I mean? If you got a problem with the practice of it, then don't vote for him. Vote for somebody else. What can I tell you? All right, 855-839-1210 is the number. 855-839-1210 is the number for you. Bill, John McNesby, the president of FOP Lodge 5, is going to join us at 8 a.m. I'm going to send you his contact information so we can get John on the show. We'll talk about the vice president's speech before the FOP Lodge 5 yesterday. That'll be fun to catch up with John. Haven't talked to him in a long while, so that'll be good. All right, That issue of New York, so you understand, I mean, this idea of people pouring over the president's tax returns to find something, anything, they'll find it. They'll find it. They always do. They always will. They'll find something. And Michael Cohen has talked about these hush money payments as if they are fundamentally illegal. It only depends on what state tax code issues may or may not have been followed. We're talking about really tax code issues, because there's nothing wrong with paying off a porn star. Yeah, you may think it's morally wrong. You may think it's morally repugnant, but it's not illegal. There's nothing wrong with paying off a Playboy bunny either. You know, I mean, it is what it is. You can pay people for their silence. You're allowed to pay them for lots of things. Now, they may have to declare it as income. You may have to declare it as a loss. You may have to declare it as nothing. It just depends. I'm not an accountant. I don't pretend to be one. I don't know. But if there was a tax irregularity around that payment, in other words, I pay a Playboy bunny for her silence because she's going to go talk about our affair. I pay her off, and then we write a contract, a non-disclosure agreement, and she doesn't file that in her income taxes. She may be in more trouble than I am because she didn't declare that as income. And if I put that expense as something that it wasn't, like if I say that $25,000 was to pay a chauffeur, but it was actually to pay a Playboy bunny, I might be guilty of a tax violation in my private life before I became president. Is that an impeachable offense? I can't imagine the founders thinking so, because the answer is no, it's not. It has nothing to do with being president of the United States of America. And can the city of New York prosecute for that, or the state of New York, I should say, prosecute for that? Maybe. I don't know New York law. I have no idea. But if they can, you know they're going to. If the statute of limitations hasn't expired, and if there's a way that they can prosecute for that misrepresentation on a tax form, they'll do it. Oh my God, I mean, imagine a country like that where everybody, the government gets to just go through your tax returns, every page, every detail, with all kinds of investigators finding irregularities. Good luck, you know, good luck. It's like if you invited the government into your home and said, look around, find whatever you want. I mean, good luck without them finding something you're doing wrong, something at some level, local, state, or federal that you've done wrong. Good luck. But we don't live in a country like that, right? We don't live in a country where they just get to go after us, thank God. But we're becoming that country now. And the Supreme Court yesterday said that you can be that country. The president is no more immune than you or I are to fishing expeditions. That's basically what they said. And a lot of people cheered yesterday. They went, good, you know, presidents should not be above the law. I got a better question to ask. Should governments just be allowed to go on fishing expeditions against American citizens, president or otherwise? No, right? And are presidents really not above the law when they can order someone dead with a drone strike, an American citizen without due process, like Obama did four times, and not get charged with it, not even get in the slightest bit of trouble for that? So spare me that nonsense, too. The point that Justice Alito makes in his dissent is that you're opening up the door now for political prosecutions to occur against a sitting president of the United States on the state level. And that's going to tie up the executive, distract the executive, because if the government's coming after you, you got to put every ounce of your soul and being into defending yourself so that you don't wind up going to federal prison or state prison. You got to do that. And that's a huge distraction from the executive department. President's one guy. The executive branch of government is one person. It is not the president and all these other people that make up the executive department of government. It is one guy. And the founders, rightly so, did not want him distracted from doing the job. That's why impeachment was only reserved for a president who's abusing his powers as president. So this is going to get real ugly. I'm telling you right now, it's going to get ugly. And for those people cheering on this and going, good. Presidents should be treated like everybody else. Just remember that this is going to happen to a Democrat in the future. There's going to be a Democrat in the future. Like if the vampiric one became president and somebody had the ability to investigate her husband, investigate her companies, whatever, they're going to do it now. They're going to do it, relentlessly do it, because that's what politics is all about, paybacks. It's an ugly, ugly business. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210 is the number. Lou is in Williamstown. Hello, Lou.
Hey, how's it going, Rich?
Good. What's up?
I don't know why the Republicans just don't play their game now. I agree with everything you said, wholeheartedly, but we're never going to get through to people unless we start playing by their rules. I would have subpoenas on my desk this morning for every justice and every Democrat leader in Congress ready to go out into the court system this morning. That's what Mark Levin said last night. And if we can't get it done the right way, then let's just play by their rules. Let's tie the court system up into so many knots that nothing will get done.
You know, I missed Levin's show last night, but that's, I mean, that's the kind of political chaos that could result from this, right?
Right, right. Yeah. It's craziness, but that's the only thing that seems to work anymore. I used to say for many years, let's play by China's rules. They want to tariff our stuff going over there, fine. Let's do the same thing. Well, guess what? It worked.
It worked, and then they released a virus on us. Oh, I'm sure that was an accident, right?
Yeah, it was an accident.
Lou, thank you for the call, buddy. To your point about fighting fire with fire, right? You know, the president yesterday made the point about Lindsey Graham and the Judiciary Committee. Like, where the hell are these guys? Who was it who told you months ago nothing would come of this? Me. I told you that. I told you this how many times? Nothing would come of this. And this is also why I tell you the only way Michael Flynn gets off is with a presidential pardon, too. Same thing. Because they're going to keep coming after him. The government never stops coming after people. 855-839-1210. Yeah, where is Lindsey Graham and the Judiciary Committee? All these investigations they were going to have. Remember, I also told you during the impeachment inquiry, they should bring in Hunter Biden. They should bring in Joe Biden and get all this on the record about Ukraine. Because I said, if you don't do it now, it's never going to happen. And maybe you were the one who called up and said to me, Rich, you're wrong. They'll have plenty of time to do that after the impeachment inquiry is over. The Judiciary Committee will look into it. They'll subpoena Biden. Don't you worry about it. Was that you who called? Because you can call up and apologize to me if it was you. I'll forgive you. No big deal. 855-839-1210. They blew it. They had a chance during the impeachment inquiry to go after the Bidens. They blew it. They never will. As long as Lindsey Graham is there, they never, ever, 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 ever will. Or any of them. They'll never go after any of them. It's all theater. It's all farce. It's why I'm not that guy who comes on the air and goes, today's the day they're all going to be brought to justice. Please. How many times have you heard that nonsense by now? We're 4 years into this.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
All right. Let me quickly go to Henry. He is in Bridgeport. Henry, good morning.
Morning, Rich. This ruling, doesn't this now give the spineless Republicans the ability to go after Biden for the sealed documents he refuses to open? I want to know everything about a man who wants to be our commander-in-chief. And also, I want to know how Pelosi and Waters and the rest of her minions all became bazillionaires, and has all that money, that pay-to-play money they made over the years, been recorded on their taxes?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know,
right.
What?
It's a great point. How did all these people get so rich?
This shoe fits in a million different ways. But will the spineless Republicans step up and do anything about it?
Yep. No, they won't. I told you that they won't. Trust me on this. They won't.
Well,
that's just the reality, Henry. I'm telling you, my man.
Yeah.
It's just,
I know.
What they say, it is what it is. Henry, thanks for the call, buddy. I appreciate it. Checking in on social media. Let's see. Davil 1972 says, Rich, you often say be careful what you wish for. With yesterday's SCOTUS decision on Trump's tax returns, imagine now getting those of Pelosi, Schumer, and others who made millions while being public servants. EJ Stokes, on our way to Wildwood where it never rains in the bars. Oh, wait, King Murphy canceled that tradition too. That's right. Yeah, for outdoor dining today is not going to be a great day for that, unfortunately. That check-in on social media also brought to you by our friends at Cherry Hill Volvo. Wendy says, I would like to see how Congress becomes millionaires off our backs. Talk about looking at taxes. The problem that I think you're going to see, right? The problem that you're going to see going forward is that you've given now one more political tool to go after people's enemies, and that is the tax returns. Davil says Mark Levin had it right last night, Zioli, when he said the IRS would have already gone after Trump for tax issues if he had any, just like they did for mob bosses way back when. Well, the IRS may, again, there's state tax law and there's federal tax law, right? And Donald Trump may have broken New York state tax law. It's very possible. I don't know. Who cares? Why is it relevant to his presidency? It's not. This has nothing to do with him being president of the United States. It's just nothing. And that's the point, right? It's not about his presidency. If as president he breaks the law, then that's an impeachable offense. You've got the impeachment clause of the Constitution. You deal with that. But you don't go back in time to look back to before he was president and see, did he violate state tax law? Who cares? It's not relevant to the office. Now, voters may find it relevant, but that's not up to the prosecutors. That's up to opposition research people. What I mean by that is if you got a good campaign opposition research person who can find all that stuff, more power to them, because that's the kind of stuff that they would leak in a heartbeat. And that's really what this is, right? This is really an attempt to embarrass Trump during his reelection is what it is. Because they're not going to put him away, stay prison. It's so stupid, but this is about embarrassing him is the ultimate goal here. 855-839-1210 is the number, 855-839-1210. The vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi, was asked about the Supreme Court decision yesterday. Cut number two.
In Baltimore and Little Italy.
The decision enables to enable the Trump administration's I don't know what they're even saying about it. I hear he's tweeting.
I don't know what you're saying. Keep going.
I don't know what they're even saying about it. I hear he's tweeting one thing and then the other people are saying another. But whatever it is, it's not good news for the president of the United States. It is a path that we will take. So I put out a statement. I don't see it here. Do we have a copy of the statement?
Why don't you remember it?
It's not here. So,
you remember what you said?
But anyway, you don't need me to give you a piece of paper to have what the statement is. But it took me a little longer to get out here because I wanted to read to the bottom.
What end. Are you talking about? This is the Speaker of the House of Representatives. What the hell is she talking about up there? She's babbling.
She's all over the place.
She's all over the place. My paper, I got my papers. Where's my paper? Hang on. You don't need my paper. What is this, a menu? What is this? What are they having at the House cafeteria today? It's pastrami day. I love pastrami day. Keep going.
The end of the decision. And Chief Justice specifically speaks to the fact that the president is not above the law. And that was something that was proclaimed in the decision, including two of his recent appointments. A careful reading of the Supreme Court ruling related to the president's financial records is not good news for President Trump. The court has reaffirmed the Congress's authority.
By the way, stop for a second, Bill. Does anyone else hear how when she can't have a statement to read, how she has no idea what the hell she's talking about? And babbling and like, eh. And then until they give her the paper, and then she starts reading and it sounds like it makes sense because somebody else wrote it. But until she gets the paper, she's like, I mean, with the that court and they ruled and the Judge Wapner and the what is this paper here? What is this? And then the People's Court and they said that he has to pay alimony to the, and that woman's not his, where is this? What is this? Oh, here we go. And then she starts reading.
Did you edit that to make her?
No. That is straight as the clip is done.
See?
Did no editing whatsoever. No manipulation on my part.
See?
Wow.
terrible.
Until she gets a statement, she's like, and then he screamed, you're out of order. This whole court's out of order. Now, that was Al Pacino and said, did you order the code red? Where is it? I said, you did. Damn right. You don't need me to give you papers with the code red. And did you have that? You have that statement? And then the chief just said, oh, here it is. And then she starts reading, and it sounds like a beautifully written, carefully crafted logos, ethos, and pathos display. My God. It's painful.
Imagine her trying to handle like breaking news as she's speaking.
I got the ruling, and so you have to pay your neighbor $42 for the lawnmower you didn't return. And the chief justice said that you can't not.
This is like your favorite anchor person doing breaking news gone bad.
This is their loading, waiting for the teleprompter to be loaded.
Yes.
This fundamentally, no president is above the law.
Or as Yoli would say, breaking news gone batty.
Right, breaking news. Yeah, breaking news gone batty. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Oh my gosh.
Where's my hang on. Who called? Who called? Tell him I'll call him back. What now?
Oh, no.
You doing a lunch order now with chicken salad? I said chicken salad. Chicken salad! And this fundamentally confirms that the president is not above the law. And then when she starts reading, it sounds like a freaking robot, doesn't it?
Yes.
Now play her reading the statement that somebody else wrote that she's never read before.
For President Trump, the court has reaffirmed the Congress's authority to conduct oversight on behalf of the American people as it asks for further information from Congress.
Can't we just pull a Ron Burgundy and have somebody on her staff write, go F yourself, America, and just see if she'll say it? Please? Please?
How would... compared to like a teleprompter, what would she do with like the late night cue cards at the late night shows? Would that would obviously
so
be
a guy walks into a bar and then wait, bring that over. I can't come here. I can't see. And then the guy walks into a bar and then it flipped it and then applause. Oh no, that's not for me. That's for the audience. I'm sorry. That's the audience applause. Okay. When we get back tonight, we're going to have a great guest on. It's so fun to have Pearl James. Pearl James is our musical guest tonight. And I'm Nancy Pelosi. And no, that's, oh, Pelosi. I'm Nancy Pelosi. And this is live from New York. It's Saturday night. Yeah, that'd be riveting, right? She should definitely host.
Definitely.
All right. Listen, John McNesby's coming up, the president of the FOP Lodge 5. It'll be great to have him on the show to talk about the vice president's visit yesterday. We were happy to have the vice president in town.
Thanks for taking the Zeoli Show with you. Rich Zeoli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Very happy to welcome back to the program the president of the Philadelphia Police FOP Lodge 5, John McNesby. John, good morning. Thanks for making time this morning.
No problem, Rich. How are you, guy?
I'm good, buddy. I'm sorry I missed the event yesterday. It was kind of you guys to invite me. I tell you what an absolutely great speech by the vice president. I saw you give him the fist bump up on stage. That was great.
Yeah, you know what, just politics aside, you know, whether you vote the way you vote, Democrat or Republican, listen, that's everybody's own personal business. But for him, and not just yesterday, he's been asking to come in for quite some time to meet those officers from the 15th Street job last August, where six people were shot, two were held hostage practically upstairs. He's been wanting to come in. He finally got a chance when he heard about this rally to come in and do it. And now it's just a good thing to show somebody cares out there, because right now, supporting the police is not the flavor of the day at all.
No, and you know, I was glad to hear the vice president call you guys heroes. It was nice. It's important because I imagine morale must be at like an all-time low right now.
Morale's in the toilet. I mean, there's no direction. There's no support. There's no communication. And the officers out there are just shrugging their shoulders. I mean, shootings are up. Murders are up. Crime is up. We have a toad in the district attorney's office who does not keep anybody behind bars. So right now we're swimming upstream, and we're hoping to be able to just go out there and, you know, solve this crime epidemic, and we can do it if you just give us the okay to do it. Right now, you know, our hands are tied, and you know, we'll get it done. So we got to. There's a community out there too. I mean, the city is going down real quick.
Yeah. Yeah, John, it really is. And you know, the vice president pointed out that America can't be safe without cops, and we need safe communities. And he's right when he talks about, too, the officers that have sacrificed in the line of duty. And I was very happy. I know that he met with the family of a fallen officer. You want to tell us about that, John?
Yeah, I mean, poor Jimmy O'Connor. I mean, his family was there, his wife, Terry. Son Jim was a police officer. His wife Nicole was a police officer. Jimmy was gunned down just 4 months ago, serving a warrant for a homicide suspect who never should have been on the street. And he took a few minutes, took them out of the room, and they spent about 10-15 minutes by themselves and had a private conversation. And you're right, Rich. The cries for defunding the police across the country are crazy. I mean, we can't even police what we have now, and they want to take more. And New York, that I heard just yesterday from the vice president that they took almost $1 billion out of their budget. That's how do you work? How do you operate a department with that shortfall?
Yeah, you can't, John. You can't. And you know, some people said it doesn't go far enough, like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She wants to see the police department abolished completely and replaced by, I don't know, I guess community social justice warriors, camp counselors. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I think they're going to start issuing apology cards to police here in Philadelphia soon, because apparently that's what we do to people that break the law, vandalize cars on 676 and so forth. But it's just something that I've never seen in the 30-some years of policing. I've never seen it this bad. I've never seen police not be able to do their job. I've never seen police that do their job get punished the way they're getting punished. You know, sometimes policing isn't pretty, and you have to use force. And, you know, so be it, as long as you do it within the guidelines. I mean, what happened out in the other part of the country was absurd, kneeling on somebody's neck for however long. But a couple knuckleheads out there give us all a bad name, and then we're going through all this. But I think we'll get through it. It might take a little bit of time, but we need the support out there.
To me, that's more frustrating than anything, right? It's like you'll have one or two cops do the wrong thing, and every single officer in America has to be tarnished by that. It's the only profession that works that way, the only one, and I hate that so much, you know?
And that's exactly what Mike Pence said yesterday. He said nobody likes a bad cop more than a good cop. I mean, they don't want to be dealing with these people. We don't want them on the job.
Right.
Get rid of them. Flush them.
Right.
So, you know, we didn't hire them. You know, they had to pass a background, but sometimes a couple slip through, and we need to flush them out quick and do a better job at that. But, you know, right now, I mean, policing, and he said it, I mean, you know, you need to back the police. You need to fund the police properly, because without safety, without your community's just not, it's just not going to work, man. You need to fund the police. I mean, we're going to have, it's just an absurd idea. And, you know, moving forward, we got to hope that somehow, some way, we get leadership here in the city that starts backing the police, giving us the right to do our jobs.
Yeah, well said. Listen, John McNesby, my friend, I appreciate your time as always. You're doing a great job. Thank God those guys have you there, really, truly, because you're a powerful voice for them. And I also think that for a lot of them to hear you come out and say what they can't say, you know, matters a lot to them. So thank you for doing that.
Well, I appreciate it. We got a great team. Thanks, Rich.
All right. John McNesby, president of the FOP Lodge 5.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Now, so I'm going to play some audio for you from what the vice president said yesterday. That point that John made about the vice president talking about nobody likes bad cops and nobody hates a bad cop more than a good cop. Let's play that one, Bill. Go ahead.
You know, the American people know nobody hates bad cops more than good cops. And that's why this president's also back the blue by signing an executive order that immediately provides law enforcement across the country with the resources that you need to improve training and accountability, and to prevent bad cops from moving from one department to another. The truth is, we don't need to choose between supporting our police and supporting our communities. And we also don't need to choose between supporting our police and supporting African-American families here in Philadelphia or anywhere in America. We can do both, we have done both, and we will keep doing both every day.
So the vice president also talked about the officers who were shot in that North Philly shooting last year. You heard John reference that in our interview. Cut 10.
Who could ever forget the North 15th Street shootout? Eight officers came under fire, wounded, trying to apprehend a suspect and barricaded himself inside a building. They saved multiple hostages in the process while taking wounds themselves. I must tell you, not just here in Philadelphia, but all over America. Joshua Burkett, Ryan Waltman, Justin Matthews, Nate Harper, Sean Parker, James Wheeler, Eric Wright, and Michael Ginter. Our heroes. They're heroes to all of you. And they're with us today. Would you mind just showing how much we admire and appreciate all of these great law enforcement officers? It's an honor to be with them today.
Drawing the political distinction, you know, because I always tell you politics is always about contrast, right? And the Democrats have talked about defunding the police. They've gone all in on that. And the vice president said the Trump administration, they're never going to defund the police. Cut 9.
That really is why President Trump and I and our entire administration back the blue. We stand with the men and women serving on the thin blue line every day. You literally are what separates order from chaos. You make it possible for the greatest nation in the history of the world to thrive and to prosper every day and for everyone. Be able to live in peace and security. But we live in a time when the radical left is presenting the American people with one false choice after another. Like lately, we've been hearing people say that we've got to choose between funding our police and funding our communities. The urging of the radical left, you've seen it. Some cities around the country are already starting to make that wrong choice. Minneapolis, it was just reported, has begun dismantling their police department. New York City's Mayor de Blasio has actually cut the NYPD's budget by about $1 billion. And I heard that just yesterday Joe Biden said that well-armed police, in his words, become the enemy. And he said that he would, quote, absolutely cut funding for law enforcement. So I want you to hear this directly from me. Under this president and this administration, we're not going to defund the police. Not now, not ever.
There are a lot of cops that vote in this country, as you know. There are about 1 million of them, and that's a lot of votes. And I can't imagine them getting anything less than 99% of the vote from the Philadelphia Police Department. That's for damn sure. The vice president also talked about the tragedy of when James O'Connor was shot and killed in line of duty. You heard John McNesby talk about that as well. And the vice president met with his family. Such a awful, sad thing. Take a listen.
Like a police officer, began his career in his early 20s, serving with distinction for nearly 23 years in this department. And over 14 years ago, I just heard about it, he landed his dream job, the SWAT unit. And it was there not long ago that he paid the ultimate sacrifice to protect and serve the people of this community, serving an arrest warrant on a murder suspect. I got great privilege just a few moments ago to meet his incredible wife, Terry, who's worked in public safety, his son, Jimmy, daughter-in-law, Nicole, who are both in law enforcement. And I said to them what I'll say to you. Pennsylvania and America will never forget or fail to honor the service and sacrifice of Corporal Jimmy O'Connor.
remember something, that nobody is trying to apologize for bad cops or try to keep bad cops on the job. And that's an important point, too. And remember, the Republicans, they had a police reform bill that would have dealt with bad cops and would have dealt with things like chokeholds and other things. But the Democrats killed it because the Democrats don't want to give Donald Trump a win in election year on an issue like that. And the vice president drew a distinction between protesters and rioters and looters. And he drew that distinction yesterday before the Philadelphia FOP, Lodge 5. Take a listen.
And let me be clear, and I know I speak for every law enforcement officer in this room. There's no excuse for what happened to George Floyd in Minneapolis. Justice will be served. But there's also no excuse for the rioting and looting and protests that turned violent that followed. I actually heard we've seen in recent days support for convicted cop killers here in the Philadelphia area. Well, burning churches is not protest. Tearing down statues is not free speech. And we're going to continue to stand with the freedom of speech and the freedom to peaceably assembly of every American, but we will join with you to stand against the rioters and the looters and the anarchists who would pull down our statues and try and destroy our communities.
Once again, you know, politics being about contrast, it's very obvious that if you want, you know, to support the cops and you want safe streets and you don't want to protect bad cops, but you want more good cops, it's pretty obvious who you vote for, right? And Joe Biden has done what Joe Biden often does, which is to try to please everybody, because the guy's a giant people pleaser. He has said crazy stuff like, yeah, you know what? We have to defund the police. The police have become the enemy. So this is what Joe Biden does. He goes far to the left. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
All right, Dawn, good morning. It's Friday. Happy Friday. How are we looking today?
Hey, good morning. Happy Friday, July 10th. Zeoli Show News Live, sponsored by Hint Water. So National Weather Service issuing alerts. Tropical Storm Fay hitting our region with high winds and heavy rain today. I'll have that forecast in detail just ahead. So stern warnings to newly reopened bars and restaurants in the Philadelphia suburbs. We're talking mostly about Montgomery County and Delaware County officials warning that bars and restaurants not in compliance with CDC or local state guidance could be shut down immediately. So they are saying this is in the name of stopping the spread of coronavirus. So they're even threatening in Delaware County that this could push Delco back to the yellow phase of restrictions, because every county in Pennsylvania, for example, is currently in that green phase of Governor Tom Wolf's plan for coronavirus. So they say the county officials and the Bureau of Liquor Control Enforcement, they are out today, especially over the weekend. Today, the storms will probably, you know, stop a lot of business, but they're inspecting. The inspectors are out to bars and restaurants issuing citations. And after one warning, one citation, if you're reported again or they catch you, they're going to shut you down. So
that'll be great for the economy. Shut them down. Unbelievable.
So what they're saying is, if your patrons are not wearing a mask or they're standing, you're not allowed to stand. You have to sit.
Right.
You have to sit down. You got to be 6 feet away. So if your patrons are acting up, they hold you, the business owner, accountable. And you
Nice.
They're going to shut her down.
Shut her down.
So they're releasing all kinds of numbers. Zeoli talked about this already, but they're releasing all kinds of numbers and websites. How to tell on somebody who's a business that's not keeping.
They want you to drop a dime on your friends and neighbors. Rat them out.
just a headline. Governor Tom Wolf ordering most evictions. This is an executive order saying that most evictions and foreclosures in Pennsylvania will be postponed through the end of August. We're also getting reports of a massive spike in Waze and Spotify down reports. So the Waze is the direction, you know, just in time for a storm. Now Waze is down, apparently, as well as Spotify. So we have thousands of problems reported, and not just in America, but across the UK, across Europe. So the both apps are saying, yes, they're experiencing some problem and they're working on it. So please be patient. We also have a warning from Chinese officials. Remember, we had the bubonic plague warnings from Mongolia. Yeah. Now Chinese officials say there's a new, quote, unknown pneumonia that's potentially deadlier than the novel coronavirus.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that's from Chinese. They say it's made 1,772 people sick and killed 628 people just last month.
So in other words, it's killed 2 million people. And so it's
Kazakhstan.
Where?
In the Central Asian country of Kazakhstan.
Okay.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
So it's a bad.
And I'm sure the World Health Organization is telling everybody everything's fine, right?
I don't even know.
Yeah, they got it under control. Everything's fine.
Every day it's something. It's bubonic plague. It's murder hornets. You know what I mean? It's just, oh my goodness.
Yes, it's almost like COVID is the warm-up act or something.
It's just, we live in surreal times, that's for sure. And now the storm. So the NBC 10 First Alert forecast, heavy rain today.
What's the name of the storm, by the way?
Well, it's Tropical Storm Faye.
Faye, right? Like Tina Faye. Faye.
Yeah, so Faye is on the way. That's what they're all saying.
Faye is on the way.
So it's, unfortunately, it's worse for the Jersey Shore and parts of Delaware with winds up to 50 miles an hour. We could see flooding of 4 inches with, 4 inches of rain, storm surges, that sort of thing. They're warning, hey, surfers, don't go surfing. There's a riptide. It's dangerous. So they're already saying that at the Jersey Shore. But for the Philadelphia region and suburbs, it looks like around 11 a.m. is when things get, severe here. But it's going to rain all day today. So we have more than a 90% chance of rain. And then tomorrow, soggy too. Not a great day for Saturday. 40% chance of rain as that tapers off. 89 degrees tomorrow. And then Sunday, finally, the sun comes out, 92 degrees and sunshine for Sunday. So today is cooler. It's 79, but it's going to be a nasty day weather-wise. So just keep that in mind if you're heading out. Hint sponsors this news and weather. Pure water infused with surprisingly true fruit flavors, watermelon, blackberry, cherry, no sugar sweeteners or calories, and available in your local grocery store or drinkhint.com. Hint. Water with a touch of true fruit flavor. I'm Dawn. This is the Oli Show News Live. You can always find us on the radio.com app.
All right, Dawn, thank you. 855-839-1210. The vampiric one was also asked yesterday about the Christopher Columbus statue being toppled down by the crazy people in town. Cut number one.
In Baltimore, in Little Italy, the statue of Christopher Columbus was removed or taken down. And I wonder if you have anything to share about that.
Well, I'm not a big, I don't even have my grandmother's earrings. I'm not a big, let's see what we have in terms of monuments in this. I'm more interested in what people have accomplished. I think that it's up to the communities to decide.
You know why she doesn't have her earrings, by her grandma's earrings, by the way? You know why she doesn't have them? She sold them at a pawn shop.
Stop.
True story. True story. 100% true. How much for these? How much? All right, go ahead.
I think that it's up to the communities to decide what statues they want to see. But I think that it's very important that we take down any of the statues of people who committed treason against the United States of America, as those statues exist in the Congress, of the halls of Congress, in the rotundas, statuary hall and the rest, where some of them are.
Has she ever been there before, to the Capitol? Does she know? It's in the gift shop. And I mean, not the gift shop. The, what do you call it? The garage, parking garage level 3, I believe. It's there. How do you not know where they are? She's the Speaker of the House. She's been in Congress for 752 years. How does she not know where the hell the statues are? I think they're in the rotunda. No, I don't know. Maybe with the visitor's center. In the garden. They're in the statue garden. That's it. Wow. All right, keep going.
I'm not one of those people who's wedded to, a statue to somebody someplace is an important thing. If the community doesn't want the statue there, the statue shouldn't be there. That doesn't diminish my pride in my Italian-American heritage and the fact that it was a country discovered by an Italian, named for an Italian, Amerigo Vespucci. So I have that pride, but I don't care.
I knew Vespucci. And he was a great friend. We played bridge together.
We go way back.
Yeah, we go way back. I remember he used to serenade me on the canals in Venice back in 1311. I love what a sweetheart of a man he was. She brought up Amerigo Vespucci. Wow. It's amazing. You know, I was thinking, too, about the fact that for Pelosi, probably, the idea of a community changing the statue is absolutely correct. It's just the idea would be they don't go in there and topple them down. They vote on it or something like that, not go in and topple the statue and throw them into the harbor of Chesapeake Bay. But, you know, I knew Vespucci. He was a hell of a man. We together, we sacked Rome. I don't know if you know that or not. It was great. We got rid of the Pope. 855-839-1210. That is the vampiric one here. What else do we got? Days like today, too, are tough with kids. We're going to be inside all friggin' day today, you know?
Yes, you are.
I'm just thinking that, too.
I hope, I hope you don't have a power outage. So you better, like, have every battery, you know, device.
Well, that's a good idea. Hang on. I need to charge something.
Yeah, you're serious. Know. I'm serious, too.
It reminds me of the time when we had an interview scheduled right after the show, and the tree fell, and it knocked his power out at like 59.
Oh, my gosh.
Right after we got off the air. He was
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to charge. You're right. Everything should be charged.
Yeah,
you're
charge
right.
It up.
Yeah, charge it up. Because the worst thing you want with kids is no way to entertain them. And we're going to be stuck inside today, and there's nowhere to go.
Right.
And you don't want a shining situation on your hands.
Exactly.
Right? You don't want that.
And, have those flashlights ready, too.
Get the tablets, too.
Tablets.
Yes. Tablets, all of it. You're right. Exactly. And the emergency radio, too.
That's true.
Does anyone actually use an emergency radio? So I know we're in radio, so I'm kind of disparaging our
but
own.
But it's good to have, just in case.
Yeah, you should be encouraging it, Millennial. Tell your friends to have an
emergency
radio.
Like, I need to get one, and I don't think I have one.
You should. You can wind them, too. And what's cool is that you can hook up your phone to it, and you can crank it, and it'll charge your phone.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Fancy.
They're great. They're great to have.
I'm
gonna
go on
Amazon
one right now.
Listen, you got to be prepared, because when that freaking Mongolian pneumonia comes.
Kazakhstan.
Yeah, the Kazakhstan pneumonia comes. You better have an emergency radio, Bill.
What comes first, that or bubonic plague?
It's a combo, actually. It's okay. The bubonic plague, COVID, Mongolian pneumonia combo platter.
The poo-poo platter of them all.
Yeah, no, you said that, not me.
Yeah, that's right. That was very politically
incorrect. You should dump that. Very politically incorrect. You should definitely dump that.
That was wrong of me.
You got the dump button?
I did. I'm playing that safe.
We put you through the spanking machine, but we have to social distance. So
it's a social. Yeah, you get no spanked by 6 feet apart. It's not as much fun, right? I don't
virtual,
think it's as fun.
Virtual spanking.
And do we know if the corporate shill is back on Monday? Do we know?
We don't. I have not heard from him. We're having off air conversations with our major corporate shill, Darth Eskin about a guest for Monday, and Greg, corporate shill, has not responded to anything. So I have no idea what he's doing.
Maybe Darth Eskin sent him back for more shill training.
Yeah.
He's got to go back to Endor, wherever the hell it is, and he's got to learn more from the...
Yeah, I don't even remember what the planet in the most recent Star Wars was, where all the Sith were. It was a terrible movie. Terrible movie. I'm sorry.
So, Dawn, you know, I was thinking Greg should definitely, if he comes back on Monday, we should...
Yes.
Oh, God. This has been a week, huh, Dawn? Has it not? Bill, how's your bucket today? You going to fill up your bucket with the rain?
I should have brought, because of the rain, I got my bucket endless of water supply today.
There you go. You're all set. Bill's going to be out dancing in the rain, Dawn. He's got his umbrella, his galoshes. He's ready. This is what he loves more than anything.
Please, God, just let us.
Dancing in the rain.
Let us all just wake up, and this was just a bad dream.
I told you I'm still under anesthesia right now, Cooper.
Yes. That's what it is.
That's all this is. We get the freaking Kazakhstan pneumonia coming next. That'll be great.
Yeah.
You know what'll happen is they'll give you the vaccine for COVID. It'll cause the Kazakhstan pneumonia. That'll be fantastic.
You know what? Just the thing about it is I think we made China mad. So let's just be nice. Like
you
Mama
think?
Cioli. Just be nice to them, because I think it's like a stirred up situation.
It's like the guy called, he goes, yeah, China did tariffs, we did them back to us. I go, yeah, how'd that work out for us? They're unleashing everything they got against us now.
So, you know,
be careful, baby.
Right. Yeah, be nice to China. Be nice to China and Kazakhstan.
Yeah,
and
just be nice. Can we send them a gift or something? Can we?
Do you think maybe if we get them one of those, what are those fruit things you get? The, the fruit baskets. What are they called?
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're all cut up into designs.
Oh, yes. You know, like the
Judith
watermelon.
Judith Krupnik sent me one of those. It was great. The kids loved them. They're like chocolate-covered bananas and things.
That's what we should send.
Edible arrangements.
Yeah, edible arrangements. Send China a big edible arrangement and go, all right, we get the point.
Yeah, we love you. Please, we're being nice.
Message received, okay?
A big edible arrangement.
Yeah, just a job. Fine. Is it an edible arrangement? You call them up and go, hi, I need an edible arrangement sent. Sure. How many people? 6 billion? And extra pineapple, please, if you could. That'd be very helpful.
Gotta have the extra pineapple.
They just sent it over on the same barge they sent over the bomb for Hiroshima, the Indianapolis. By the way, I was thinking about that the other day, too. Because Jaws, is back in the theaters now. That speech about when he was on the Indianapolis and you go in the sharks in the water and, oh, man, that's so good. Got to be one of the best cinematic moments in history. Bill, you've seen Jaws, right?
Of course.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right, good. I'm not counting Jaws 4 with Mario Van Peebles. I'm talking about the original Jaws.
Original Jaws, of course.
All right, good.
Classic.
If you want a good book to read, too, the book about the sinking of the Indianapolis was amazing, too. All those sharks in the water. Oh, man. Oh, that was just an amazing, amazing story. But, yeah, we'd have to send over a gigantic fruit basket like that in a big barge, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the only way to do it.
And just a big note. China.
We're sorry.
We got it.
Yeah.
We're not going to apologize. We're just going to go, we got it. All right. Put the Kazakhstan flu back in the jar, please.
Yes.
All right. Before.
And kind of like, what we could do for Rocket Man is like, when you were a kid and you go, are you still my friend? Do you still like me? And then you have a box.
Yeah,
yes. No. Please check. Yes.
I got an idea, Dawn. Why don't we send them a big friendship bracelet?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like Joe Biden and Obama had.
Perfect.
We send them a gigantic fruit basket and a friendship bracelet and go, all right, can you put the bubonic plague back in the
in the
lab for now? All right. Can we, like, we get it. We got it. All right. Got it.
Talk radio 1210 WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.